So I'm going to say we are ready to start the English discussion. We have a fairly large group today.
Please start.
We are discussing the sutta called the Stone Splinter, Sakalika Sutta. We already read through half of it last week. And just to give a brief background, the Blessed One was staying at Maddakuchi Deer Park, and this was right after his evil cousin Devadatta attempted to kill him and threw a boulder over a cliff, but the boulder got deflected and a splinter broke off from that boulder and hit the Buddha's foot and caused him an injury. So while the Buddha was receiving treatment, he was resting, and then a host of devas from the Satulapa realm, they came to see the Buddha, and they were praising him for withstanding all these sharp, painful, piercing, harrowing, and disagreeable pains. So one deva compared the Buddha to a naga, another one compared him to a lion, another one compared him to a thoroughbred horse, another one to a chief bull, another one to a beast of burden, and another one praised him for being tamed, for being a tamed man. And so all these paragraphs, they're just about praising the Buddha for withstanding the painful feelings that he incurred from the injury caused by Devadatta's mischievous actions. And so I would suggest to start from one paragraph here, just before the Buddha responds. With the permission, Bhante, I will go ahead and read.
Yes, please.
Right. Then another Devata uttered this inspired utterance in the presence of the Blessed One. See his concentration well developed and his mind well liberated, not bent forward, not bent back, not blocked and checked by forceful suppression. If anyone would think such a one would be violated, such a naga of a man, such a lion of a man, such a thoroughbred of a man, such a chief bull of a man, such a beast of burden of a man, such a tamed man, what is that due to apart from lack of vision? I will hand over to Venerable Dhammaguru to read the Sinhala translation.
Oh, sir, that's fine, answer.
I'd like to hear the Pali version.
Yes, Mantir. Sangita Nikaya, Devata Sangita, page 52. Pasa Samadhin Subhavitang Chittanche Savimuttang Nachabinatang Nachapanantang Nacha Sankara Nigdhaya Charitavang Vatang Sankara Nigdha Charitavatang Yo Evarupang Purusanagang Purusasihang Purusajaniyang Purusanisabang Purusadorayai Purusadorayihang Purusadantang Atikkamitabbang Manyaya Kimanyatta Dasanati. Passa samadhin subhavitam cittanta savimuttam nachabinatam nachapanatam nacha sankara nigghaya charitavatam yo evarupam purisa nagam purisa sihaṃ purisa jāniyaṃ purisa nisabaṃ purisa dorayiṃ Purisa Dorayam, Purisa Dantam, Atikkamitabbam, Manyaya, Kimanyanta, Adasanati.
The Antim Father Dekki Vande, last two words.
Purisa Dantam, Atikkamitabbam, Manyaya, Kimanyanta, Adasanati.
Ek Tama Tahine, Ek Tirinitna, Kivanaka, Pensaike Pali Bodak. මේ පද බඳපු වචන තියෙන නිසා අමාරු ඇති නමුත් පදේ තියෙන ලොකු අර්ථයක් ඒ ගන්න බෑ මේ ඇහෙන්නේ නැතිකම නිසා, කියවෙන්නේ නැති නිසා. ඉතින් ඒක නිසා that is why I have to mention the Buddha has all the qualities පුරුෂ උසබං සීහං නාගං, that means the good thoroughbred horse and lion and an elephant or tusker. His qualities all came because of his wound. If it is not wounded, no one knows his bearability. So therefore, even a hurting thing, even a destroying thing, even a hateful thing someone done, the Buddha showing his colors, so others comes to know the Buddha qualities because of the difficulties from the world point of view. But it is from the worldly point of view, yes. But from the Buddha's point of view, it is nothing. It is like something, someone came and applied oil into the leg. So it is nothing. Someone came and hurt. Sakalikam. No, nothing. So therefore, he is not creating any judgment, any sankhara. He is not proliferating anything, whether he is hurt or not. But when he is not hurt, these qualities are not laudable. Qualities are not palatable. Qualities are not communicating. So that is why we, those who appreciate the Buddha, can see his real, what you call, bearability only in difficulties. Exactly, if you are a true man, if you are a noble person, your qualities come when it is disturbed, just like a sandalwood trunk. When it is hurt, cut, chopped, grounded, smell comes. Sandal oil come out and the smell happen. Otherwise, there's a little smell. But now, due to the destroying or grounding, chopping, that become very activated. So that is what the Gatha says. He is not happy, he is not unhappy. He do not mind whether it is good or bad, because good thing is, when he was hurted, then only others can understand. He is such a equipoised or equanimous person. So therefore, world is a, worldly people consider it is a hurting, but it's a point to show colors. So likewise, when we are working with good people, true people, noble people, we try to give all the facilities of praising. But that is nothing for him. Not that we must hurt it, but whenever such a thing happen, it's very dramatically you can see he is such a lion, he's such a tusker, he's such a bull, or we call we use the bulls in the cattle herd for the cows, because all the other bulls are secondary. The chief bull is called Usaba, so it's also considered as a thoroughbred horse, something like a horse. So therefore, the worldly affairs giving a different viewpoints, different perspective, different shades of meanings. Whenever such a dramatic thing happens, it is good or bad, immaterial. So that is what I thought of sharing. So I would like to listen to other participants, to the other participant also.
Namnadze, something that I noticed in the paragraph that we read, it says that the Buddha's concentration is not blocked or checked by forceful suppression. And this sounds very familiar to some instructions that we get when meditating. I have a question. At what point do we begin to see this concentration that is not brought about by focusing, using effort, using intention to focus on something? Because the very common instructions for meditators, especially when they begin, is that they should use some kind of effort to restrain the mind to a subject of concentration. But then as we develop further in the practice, we get to a point where we really don't have an object of concentration. And so we stay in that open awareness. How do we understand at which point we are able to move from the concentration that is with an object to the concentration that is without an object?
Not only the concentration, it's a balance. The concentration at the wisdom and the at last it come like a equipoise mind or equanimous mind. So concentration is the point, give the background, and likewise the Buddha is the maximum or greatest example to us to see how much the Buddha is developed these qualities. And as far as he is living, he is showing it not only in phrasing, not only in good things, but in everything. So therefore, you have to be Buddha to understand it. Otherwise, we phrase the Buddha with a little bit of his tip of the iceberg. But the overall thing only possible for the mindful people and the true people and the noble people, and it is endless. This is just tiny part, but these are the things we are using for our Dhamma understanding. Not only that, it is for the mutual understanding. We are mutually understanding each other with respect to the Buddha's qualities. So, thank you. Anyone else?
Dante, it appears you do not have any comments. And there are
hello?
Four, yes, Dante, I can hear you. There are four last remaining verses.
I can hear you. Continue, please.
In the five Vedas, practice austerities for 100 years. Their minds are not rightly liberated. Those of low nature do not reach the far shore. They founder in craving, bound to vows and rules, practicing rough austerity for 100 years, but their minds are not rightly liberated. Those of low nature do not reach the far shore.
What's that, Bante? Pali words. Pancha Veda Satang Sam Tapasi Brahmana Charang Chittancha Nesang Na Samma Vimuttang Hinatarupa Na Parangamate Tanhadipanna Vata Sila Badda Lokang Tapang Vasa Satang Charanta Chittancha Nesang Na Samma Vimuttang Hinatarupa Na Parangamate.
And the last two
verses. Singhala meaning.
Singhala meaning. Veda pasadana yak pasak mulullehi tapas ativa hasirana brahmana vedda ounge sitada manavin nomiduneya lamaka sabhava ati ohu paratareta noyannoya rusnaven madana lada u sila dekin bendunu yak pasas mulullehi ruksha tapas karana varahanakile යම් බමුණෝ වෙද්ද ඔවුන්ගේ සිතද මනවින් නොමිදුනේය. හීනාත්ම ස්වභාවය ඇති ඔහු පරතරයට නොයන්නෝය.
So, according to the singular meaning, even though you have good concentration, even though you have good all the virtuous qualities, but you have not gone to the other shore. So, there's a kind of a maturity. That maturity is very difficult for religious people to understand. Only the mindful, non-judgmental people can understand it. So therefore, while we are developing virtues and good qualities and higher merits, you have to understand their balance is the most important practical part. So that is very painfully slow, but it is always happening. For that, you have to associate good friends, true people, and you have to be in such a background. That means just like a operation theater. And you also must have enough merits done in the past. Then only you can understand what is happening. Otherwise, you will reduce it to economical gain or political law or social gain. That is the block in our mind. But anyway, these virtues are growing. Your appreciation of the political and social things will be reduced slowly, slowly. And you will understand how to appreciate this, the inner quality, that means the balance of the virtues, not the balance between the good and bad things, not the virtues and merits and demerits, but the within merits. First you have to go to give up demerits and come to the merits, and within merits there are some fighting. There's a inner clashes. And other people can't understand it, but if you are sharp, even the mindfulness can't tackle it. Mindfulness must cope up with clear comprehension. Then only you can understand your own virtues are sometimes working against you. But in the meditation, mindfulness, we give equal chances. When we give equal chances, I can see myself as a separate person. La Parato, it's looking from the other's point of view like. Looking from the mirror like. Because you can understand how the mirror image was. That is because not that you have not seen you, but this is a reflection. That reflection and the clear comprehension is kind of a similarities. Without clear comprehension, this balance will not come. The comparison will not happen. If at all happening, it is with the economic and social and political. But this is not. So therefore, this is completely new for someone. So please develop qualities, but don't think that you have completed, because qualities has to be well seasoned, well balanced. That is completely matter of time. So we can discuss about that, discuss upon this.
Yes, thank you, Swaminas, for going into that. I had a thought about how to develop virtue or concentration as a meditator. And this has something to do with mindfulness, sati. My thinking is that when you are mindful, then you don't need to worry about being virtuous. When you are staying with the mind in the present moment, there are no fears about being, breaking your sila, and there's no anxiety about sticking to your sila. So when there is mindfulness, then one has kind of temporarily transcended this field of virtue. So for them, there is no good, there is no evil, there is no happiness or sorrow, and that is just with the power of mindfulness. Would you agree with that? That when there is mindfulness, there is no right or left or front or back or up and down.
That is the choiceless avyanad or evil is suspended attention. This is not human. This is beyond human capacity. It's a potential. It's a possibility for each and every human being. But we are always try to develop human qualities. Of course, it is good. But I would like to say we have enough that. We have to think about the quality, not the quantity of human nature, but the quality. That's a choiceless awareness. That's a the balance. That's the seasoning of the same thing. So that is something new for each and every person as well as individual. So we are on the way, I am very happy to say, we are on the way, so therefore we have to keep it up. All the time we have to keep it up. Okay?
Yes, Swaminarayan. Thank you for elaborating and for sharing your thoughts.
That is why we are doing discussions. That's why we are becoming Dhamma friends. That's why we are selecting this kind of places. It is a huge, huge endowment, gift. But you have to live up to that.
Right. So we have two last verses. I will
yes.
go ahead. There is no taming here for one fond of conceit, nor is there sagehood for the unconcentrated. Though dwelling alone in the forest, heedless, one cannot cross beyond the realm of death. And the last verse, having abandoned conceit, well concentrated, with lofty mind, everywhere released, while dwelling alone in the forest, diligent, one can cross beyond the realm of death.
Namakamasa damo idatti na mona matti asamahitasa eko aranye iharang pamotto na matti deyasa tareya paranti. Then Buddha is telling, manang sahaya susamahitatto suchetaso sabbadi vipamutto eko aranye iharang appamatte appamatto sa mattudeyyassa tarayya paranti. Sinhala meeni mehi manaya kamatta huta damayek natha samadhiyak natha huta maunyayak maunyayek natha vanehi hudakalawa samatta vasanne sasara paratrayata hevat nivanata nopaminenneya. Then Buddha is telling, මානය දුරලා මනවින් එකඟ වූ සිත් ඇති සියලු උපදීන්ගෙන් මිදුණු අප්‍රමාත්‍ය වූ හුදකලා වනෙහි වෙසෙන හෙතෙමේ සසර පරතරයට පැමිණෙන්නේය. That's all.
Yeah, others may be living in the forest, but they have not achieved because of the lack of balance, lack of mindfulness and the clear comprehension. And that is not a school subject. Very difficult to teach in a linear method. It is it's a matrix. So that is possible only for human beings. But unlucky enough, all the authorities are misleading human for this economic, social and other gains. And they live whole life for that and they die desperately, achieving nothing. Even the pointing people or leaders as well as the followers. But when we are reading the scripts, we feel at least there's a different dimension. That dimension is not already in our mind, but not in books, not in theory. Theoretical parts are always linear. But what we are talking is kind of a balance. It is difficult to explain in linear method. So therefore, we must have this kind of a discussion and just listen. At least to know we have these birthrights and they have to be flourished. In order to flourish, we have to facilitate it. One thing is listening. But the other thing is how to put into practice. And our day-to-day life is such a challenge. So therefore, we always must have a open-minded approach to the phenomena rather than only the lucky things, only the gifted things. They are very biased. So living life is completely a balanced thing. But people think it is poor life. Well-to-do people is avoiding all the these kind of opportunities, and their children of the rich families are committing suicide. But they can't see the meaning of the life. They are always thinking virtuous. They are always thinking merits. They are always thinking good things. They are always thinking lucky. So they consider these kind of things as unlucky things. So completely because of the parents. Parents are misleading children because they wanted to have their role model. A chip of an old block. But You know how to make children, that is sure. But how to teach? Only the Buddha. So that is why many people do not like Buddha. That's why many people are not reading these kind of things. And even if they read, difficult to understand because it is written in a dead language. So we are taking prime time at least to recite them and to listen to them. And one day they will pave the path toward our first-hand experience. We are coming from different countries, are coming from different creeds, but still the message is universal, or message is human. So that is, I feel day by day, we are now little by little communicating each other. So I would like to listen to others' voices. No one is talking. Kumara?
Yes,
no
one is,
no other comments from...
Yeah, no from this
no
side.
From, yeah.
But Mr. Navanin, somebody is trying to talk, I think, Bhante.
Can you hear me, Bhante?
Yes.
When we go back in the real world, I've asked this before, I would like probably more details. When I go back in the real world, all the pressure and the stress and the news and, you know, work and finance and everything, you know, it's just very high stress or high pressure environment. What are the must-dos and don'ts, you know, for the lay person to progress on this path?
I can't clearly listen. I can't clearly hear. I would like to see Dhammobhasa's, Osada's response, then I may understand further. Osada.
Nancy, the question is, for regular lay people who live out there in the world, what is the best way to go about embodying the Buddhist teachings into their lives, their finances, their relationships? This, I believe,
there are no regular lay people, which and everyone is unique. So therefore, everyone is a good candidate. Everyone is having the potential. We have to promote. We have to catalyze. Just be with us. We also try our best just to leave aside our lay life and our secular life. So we are not fully successful, but we are fairly advancing. So therefore, we are on the way. Don't try to be smart. Everyone is having the same capacity and the same potential. So therefore, by regular participation, kind of a polishing, so you must understand, therefore, I have the potential, but I have to catalyze it. If you are lazy, we are not catalyzing it, you will consider you as an unlucky person. But whenever you consider I have the potential, I have the birthright, I am almost equal like any other one on the earth, I am not deprived of anything, I am fully endowed with capacities and qualities, so that is why we have time to participate. So we have to grab it, we have to appreciate it, and just be. That is what the best answer and the best response.
Thanks, Swami Nante. I would like to reiterate what you said, and I've heard you say this a couple of times. When someone asks such a question, you respond by saying, just be with us. And I find that to be very special, because the first time I came to Nisarnavanaya, I stayed here for 5 months. I came here for the first time and stayed here for 5 months. And then I had to go back home for about a month. And the experience just coming from here and going back to the outside world after living with other meditators, after living with monks, it's a special experience, because it's like the people you live with are a mirror of yourself. They show you what your defilements are. They show you the things you hate. They show you the things you like, your likes and your dislikes. And so when you take that and you go outside to the society, it's like you have learned about yourself. You know about yourself. So I would just like to emphasize what you said, that just living with Kalyanamita with noble friends, people who meditate, people who are on the path, it's like they are teaching you about self. And so when you go out there in the world and you're mindful and you're minding your own business, you just automatically know what to do. There are no fears, no anxieties about being a good person, being virtuous. You just live life, because when you're mindful, you're just connected to how the entire universe or how the world flows. So there's no fear at all. That's what I wanted to share.
We appreciate you, Kalu Hamaduru, giving a good example and striving continuously. That's encouraging for the others, other meditators also. Thank you.
Our Sarabhante.
Yeah.
Just a question. I'm probably wrong in saying this, but you've mentioned choiceless awareness. I'm just wondering, with the choiceless awareness, when it comes to like doing the meditation, when things start arising in the body, you know, like subtle things and physical sensations and pain and things like that, that choiceless awareness, you kind of, when it arises, you've kind of got to make the choice to give it the awareness. And my question is, when you say choiceless awareness, do you mean when things arise, just effortlessly pay, like give it the awareness, like don't put any effort into it? Is that what you mean by choiceless awareness? Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, when thing arises, if you get encouraged, engaged and judgmental, you can't see the cause of that arising thing. You may consider it's me, it's mine, it's myself. Then your judgment is always partial. But if you are patiently looking, they are arising due to number of causes. And it is a phenomena. The worrying is your worldly character. Main thing is without worrying, but full diligently, if you observe the arising phenomena, you see it is not accidental. It is it's a kind of cause and effect relationship. But only thing is, if you are worrying and if you are considered it as a bad thing or good thing related to yourself, then you are in trouble. So therefore, just be aware, the arising phenomena is a dhammata. It's a phenomena. It's a law of nature. So you are an observer, not the judge. So if you choicelessly aware, only one arising it may or may not be. But things are arising in a pattern. These patterns are being written on the books. But we are too immature. Keep on observing so that you have a kind of a prepared mind. Anything arising, you are unshaken. You are just observing, not neglecting also. Not lethargic. Just be aware. So that preparedness is being phrased by the Buddha by the term Appamada, and Sir Baden-Powell in scouting put the first motto, be prepared, not to fight. Just rising thing is rising due to produce causes. You know only one cause, this is me, this mine, this myself. So that your narrowed mind, even if it is reacting, even if it is going to give answers, it is not lasting. So you have to understand that your judgmental mind is a result of your egotism, and it's always taken the decision with limited number of variables. But if you keep on observing, maturity increases. You are increasing the observation and cut off inferences, judgment. That is called asceticism. That's called monkhood. That's called forest life. And that is we are learning something like climatology. The climates are changing. But after observing so much, people develop astrology and climatology. And that is what you call the maturity. The present day scientific observations are very narrow, very limited application, because they have to test time, being time tested. But the teaching of the Buddha is not 2600 years ago, aeons of. So therefore, while we are doing the scientific education, scientific studies, that rational thinking, you have to keep on observing. That is called vipassana. That's called insight meditation. You take the me, myself, and mine as the pivotal point, but not judgmental point. Otherwise, your mind can be extrovert. You will be completely bewildered. So let that happen. No harm that the Venerable Dhammobhata has to go back home from Nisarnavane. It is not a backward. There only he can understand the contrast, how much it is worth to be in the atmosphere like Nisarnavane. And if you are not breaking it and going home, very difficult to have a comparative study. So therefore, let the phenomena happen. Judgmental means you are not let the phenomena to the end in a natural way. You are interfering. Just like you are looking at the river, if you are forking your fingers, river will be disturbed. Let the river flow, but be seated in a dry place and observe it. How much dirty things are coming, how much purification can happen. It's a phenomena. And nothing to take tension and frustration. Leave aside trauma. So that is what we have to share with the others. We have that message. We are always happy to share with, and that is the small scale. We do once a week, 1 hour, this kind of sharing our views. So therefore, be patient and let the phenomena to happen in the natural order without interfering, just like looking at a river being seated in a dry bank. Thank you. 5 more minutes.
Master Bante, there is one person raised his hand from this side. I allow.
Good.
Yeah. Amar Singh, you can speak too.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Please. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I then speak.
Okay. All I can say is that I'm speaking from America right this time. I'm in Florida. Yeah. I appreciate very much the presentation of Venerable Dhammaji. I thank you so much, sir. Yeah. That's what I like to express at this moment, all the way from America.
Good. Thank you very much for your sympathetic joy.
Thank you.
I hope now the sutta is finished.
Yes, yes. Finally, we have finished the slots. Besides that, we do not have.
So we can.
Shall we wind up, Swami?
Yes, that's what I thought of sharing. I was about to tell.
All right, thank you very much, Swami. Very fortunate we are to be able to gather and listen to the Dhamma, and to teach and to listen to the Dhamma, meritorious deeds, and therefore would like to extend these merits to our relatives, our parents, and all celestial beings. May they all rejoice in our merit-making. May the celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Buddha Sasana for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that we have received continue growing, producing path, wisdom, and Nibbana. Now I invite everyone to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verse.
1 minute, Osada.
Yes,
Osada. I am speaking from Uruluveve, and I was there for the last 2 nights. I expected wild elephants. They are just like no wild elephants. I was in an attic, and Sagara, Dhamma Sagara is residing here. He is accused. He is very lethargic. He is not building up the kuti. Yesterday soon I came, I visited the 2 kutis. Now they are put up the base and the pillars. And once the pillars are come up to about 5, 6, 7 feet, we will put a concrete, and upon which we will prepare 2 kutis. And presently the concrete works are happening, and 4 workers, they are very, very devoted people. They are doing, I can hear the sound very close by. Otherwise, the Dhammasagar is accused, but he's not working. But I would like to listen to Dhammasagara about the progress of two kutis.
Especially we make one kuti in the soon. I think April we can finish the kuti, one kuti. And I think the our Mahathero will come to stay here for Vassa.
I have not promised, but he is suggesting.
After that, before Vassa, we can finish two kutis. And
by April, one kuti, and by June, July, another kuti he hope to finish.
Yeah, that's the...
And the office and the room is... yesterday they fixed those.
Almost finished.
Almost finished, but from his point of view, but it has to make a house, make a home. So that is happening now. So therefore, and something happening.
And the tree house also finishing.
So I was in a tree house and last two nights, and they are lying there, no elephants, because they are fixing, a government is fixing a huge elephant fence. And Huruluweva is completely given to elephants. So we had to creep through the fences and go. And yesterday we had a 4 hours boat race and go to the in between the center island. And we climbed up to the cave kuti, and it is being carved. It's been well civilized, but no one is here. Today we are going to go into the mainland caves. We have seen, but we have not visited. So after this, we will go there. And the nearby two kutis, there's a marshy land. So I thought of hiring a backhoe and make a fairly good swimming pool rather, and it's connected to a small natural tank. It's a satellite tank for the Huruluweva, and this one. Usually we have about 8 months we can have water. Other time it is dried. And we have grown 14 acres of forest. And for the last season they are coming. I see some casualties. So we have to refill it. And the elephants are coming, but they are not thrashing the trees. Just the lucky phenomena is there are a lot of cows in a freelance. They belong to people. And they come and graze it. They are not eating the plants we have grown. Yesterday I saw 10, 12 cows are coming and they are grazing. Therefore, land is fairly clear. So we thought of growing, if possible, some harsh crops in a cleared area, so that we are running a household. So I would like to share it with you all. I don't think you can get a smell of what we are talking. So one day we will invite you all to come here. That's why we are putting up houses, kutis, and clearing some caves. So those who wish spiritual pilgrims and spiritual tourism, we can share, because a lot of tree houses abandoned now, because that short-term crops are finished with the main rain. And the long-term trees are there, huts are there, inviting all. We are making a complete open atmosphere for the Tuesday Dhamma discussion. Thank you very much for Sagara.
Sadhu, sadhu. We share our merits with Venerable Sagara as well.
Yes.
Bhante, now we shall wind
up. Okay, you can advance. You can carry on.
All right, Bhante, we shall wind up with the recitation of the traditional Pali verses,
yes,
for the sharing of merits.
Yes, please.